Hi, everybody.
Hey,
Hi.
everybody. Hello.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to copy and paste this back in the beginning because
Great.
we forgot to do this. But we want to say, do not listen to this. If you have not finished reading The Running Grave, we jump to the end immediately because how can we not? Huge spoilers everywhere. Please don't listen to this if you haven't finished. And also, I said this at the end, but I'm going to say it here too. Please don't put spoilers in the comments. If you want to respond to anything we said, you can send us an email, DM. You can DM me on Twitter or podcast account on Twitter, whatever you want to do. But please just don't put them in the comments so that other people don't get spoiled. And then we're going to cut to our very chaotic opening, not opening, because we're a hot mess with all of this.
Our authentic emotional experience.
Which is basically just me wringing my hair out. So,
Have fun.
I don't want to miss anything.
No,
Wait, I don't need
obviously.
notes today. I can close everything.
I made some rough notes for myself just so I don't forget the stuff I really want to talk about.
Yeah, me too. I just wrote it out right now.
Nice. I have under other, I have pat, 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 pat.
Pat!
Like literally three bullet points are just pat. Oh my God.
I am still struggling. I feel like my hair is its own entity right now because
It looked
the
really
last 2 days.
nice.
Well, thanks. The last 2 days, I've been just like pulling it. It's gone up, it's gone down. I've taken all my stress out on my hair, I think. Look at what just came.
Hey, I got mine too.
I'm still waiting on mine.
Oh no.
Yeah, I've gotten like literally every other format that I bought. I got the
It's
Kindle, I got the
beautiful.
ebook.
The yellow looks really nice in real in person.
It's
I
so
like
pretty.
it.
Love it.
It's
It's
so
so pretty.
pretty.
Oh, I didn't even touch to see what. Oh, it's black.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's supposed to have some sort of I Ching something on like the
I didn't
inside.
get that.
Oh,
Mine is
let me.
just white.
Really?
Yeah, mine too.
That's weird. The cover that they
It's just the
showed,
British
I
one.
know.
maybe it is the British one because there's supposed to be some sort of I Ching something underneath the dust cover.
It's just not
Yeah, I don't
fair.
have one. Yeah, it's not. Should we do an intro?
Might as well. Might help it feel a little more structured.
I came up with a rough structure that I was going to organically suggest.
Oh
I
boy.
feel like I'm just going to keep all of this in.
Okay.
Like
And I
this,
went
we got to keep it all. We got to be authentic.
I went through our predictions notes and I was like, oh, which
Yeah,
predictions did I get right and wrong? And I'm like, oh my God. But I was gonna, oh man, I'm so excited. Okay. Oh, okay.
I feel like I'm finally going to feel better. I'm going to feel better after this because I got to get all my emotions out. This is going to be like therapy. I was going to joke on Twitter that I was going to send Joe my therapy bill because,
I
oh
mean,
boy. Ooh.
pretty much.
I'm sorry, I'm still on Twitter. Joe liked my thing.
I saw that
Yeah, she
this
did.
morning. Yeah, it was really nice. I was like, this time I'm not going to immediately ask for book eight. I'm going to give it like a month. I'm so proud of myself.
Even though you
So
posted
much.
that.
Even though I'm like, I want book eight right now. No, I'm being chill and calm
Okay.
and normal.
See, we need to do an intro because I
Intro, intro,
want to start
intro.
talking.
Right, Ken's.
Like I said, I'm going to keep this
Okay.
beginning part, but I'm going to edit down so people could just hear our chaos because this is
It's we have
the
so many
thing of
emotions to share.
so many
And like
emotions.
everyone's feeling these emotions right now. Everyone, y'all need
Everyone's
everyone
feeling
need
the chaos.
come into
Oh.
our
Our bubble of
emotions
chaos,
bubble.
emotions closet.
Yes. Well, it's the bubble world. It's
We are in the bubble
we are
world.
in the bubble world. This book is my flesh object. This is my flesh object. I am a materialist as hell right now.
Yeah, me too.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh boy.
Seriously. Intro,
Oh
intro,
my God.
intro. We gotta do
Oh
this
my
normal.
God.
There's nothing normal about this. Okay.
Oh, if I could remember what the chant was offhand, I'd do it for jokes.
Oh, I can't either. It meant something. Shelley Googled it and said and showed me what it meant, but I forget.
We should end every episode with the drowned prophet will bless all who worships her. That's how we should end our episodes. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Ugh.
Oh. We're just leaning full on into our cult era, I guess.
This is our cult era. We're never going to do an intro. Sorry, people listening. They know where they are. They know what's happening.
Welcome to the Strike and Ellicott Files.
Absolute chaos.
Something, something, all things Strike and Ellicott. As brought to you by Robert Galbraith.
If you're ever wondering why Ken's does it.
Something, something, I'm Pools. I pay attention.
Wow, hold it. On. I think we just got something, something, Ken's.
You guys have names?
Something, something was our
names. I don't remember
your
names.
I feel like you should remember my name.
Oh my God, I should remember your name, eh?
Our name was in this book, by the way. Just the wrong spelling.
I didn't even notice. Who were we?
Yeah. Well, it's the wrong spelling.
Oh.
It's an EY, so sorry to any Lindsays with an EY.
Yeah, I don't recognize EYs. Inferior spelling.
I can't remember what it was. It was just like, Lindsay, go get the... I think it was at the end when Strike is in the meeting or backstage with Wace. Mm-hmm. I think there was a Lindsay there.
Kindle has to build the search index. Okay, there we go. Lindsay.
But EY.
Yeah, I know you won't mind leaving us. Lindsay, if Joe's still outside, tell him to join us. Yeah. Well, sounds like we were an attractive young woman based on the context.
Yay! In a cult.
Well, two out of three ain't bad.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on. We have to start because I let me write a note so that I don't forget this.
Okay.
It's something that I nailed after we got the extended sample.
Right.
And I texted it to Ken's.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited about the one thing I nailed. Well, the one, two things, kind of. One of them, obvious, but I'm real excited about the one thing I nailed.
No, me too. I thought of you immediately as soon as I figured it out. And I was like, oh my God, she nailed that.
We got it. We got to do the intro.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yep. Shake our bodies.
Woo.
Loosen up. Okay. I'm ready.
All right. Calmness. You sound like you're going into labor.
Another thing I kind of nailed.
Oh, that was the thing I was talking about.
I predicted mine was about Charlotte.
No, let's wait.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Okay. Nobody talk.
No.
Tell me what to do. You're not my cult leader. Sorry. I'm done. I'm just too high spirited. I'm zipped.
Okay. Ooh. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Strike and Ellicott Files, an unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Cormoran Strike and Robin Ellicott, as written by Robert Galbraith. My name is Kenz.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Pools.
And today we'll be giving you our super spoiler-filled review and reactions to The Running Grave. We all just finished it yesterday. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Is that the end of the intro? Can we talk now?
Yes, we can talk
oh
now.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, okay. The intro that takes place like 5 minutes into it because I can't
delete whatever.
That.
Close enough.
We got to it eventually. Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do?
Not freak out immediately after jumping on Zoom? Mm-hmm. Not physically
That's
possible.
That's why I said
sorry.
Hit record immediately because I knew.
Yeah.
I knew us. Yes. I knew it was going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's all been like building up in here for 24 hours. Even though I've been screaming about it online with people, it needs to come out the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I've told David some things. Mm-hmm. From like the earlier parts, because he doesn't mind spoilers as much. But I have not told about Charlotte.
Ooh.
I have not told him that Strike tells her he's in love with her. Oh my God.
I cannot believe.
Can you fucking believe? Can you believe? Okay. I feel like can you believe is like my mantra for this whole novel. Okay.
Can we just start with that? How do we not start with it?
How can you not? I'm speechless. And yet I think I will find speech to discuss it.
It's so Yeah. Okay. This is something that I feel kind of, I was happy and proud that I nailed the relationship thing. This is exactly what I thought was going to happen. Ooh, I even said, I mean, I know that I said he's going to confess it. There's going to be no kiss. I feel like nailed it. I'm proud of that one.
Oh,
I feel like somewhere, it might not have been on the podcast, maybe it was just typing to one of you, maybe it's Anna Kiara. I feel like I said somewhere, I feel like it could end with him saying, I'm in love with you. And then that's where it ends.
I feel like I remember you saying that as well, because that seems familiar to me. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, that's how you do a cliffhanger, right?
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Which, holy shit.
Speaking of things that we were right about, Ken's, the thing that you could have been right about, why? What did you want, Ken's?
You know what? Ken's manifested this. This is her fault.
Oh, how could you do this?
You don't know what we're talking about. It's that Murphy would still be around at the end of this book. I'm honestly surprised because
I cannot fucking believe
this sample.
Sorry, language.
You're going to start worrying about language now. Who are we? The sample made it seem like this was bad.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like if she hadn't been gone those 4 months and if mm-hmm. she hadn't been dealing with this case and the aftermath of it when she got back, mm-hmm. I don't think that they would still be together.
Fully agree. Yeah. With you. Mm-hmm. Yes. There were a lot of moments where I was like, Robin, you are fully aware right now that, mm-hmm. yeah, this is not the guy. She knows. But she was she got out of that cult. The trauma, she needed again.
Oh my God, it's just like safety, with Matthew.
Just like with fucking Matthew. God. You know, Matthew even down 2. To the going for a weekend
and
away.
And she says it. And she says it at the very end. I did that exact same thing. Robin.
Okay. If Robin does not dump, I'm sorry, I almost called him Matthew.
Well, he's Matthew 2.0.
Matthew, if she does not dump Brian on the way to the car and then come back to find Strike, I will kill her. I will do it. I cannot believe she's still with him. You know what drove me nuts? So he's sitting her down to watch the interview with Becca.
When he kept telling her to stop talking.
Right? I'm like, how dare you? But what was funny was when Strike showed her when he brought her into his bedroom, by the way, to show her the report.
Oh, they were I noticed that.
They were talking at the screen in unison, saying the exact same thing.
Exact same thing.
And I'm like, I know. It's a sign. Robin, do not let your man tell you not to scream at the TV. That's your right. And then he starts talking when she's trying to listen. Oh, hell no.
I was highly annoyed at that part.
Mm-mm. Did either of you guys notice how often when either one of them was gone from the office that the other would sit in the other person's chair?
Yes.
At the partner's desk?
Oh my God.
That was so cute.
There is so much adorable romantic stuff in this that I don't even... Where do you even start after we get over the I love you at the end?
We haven't even properly talked about this.
Because we keep getting distracted.
Sorry. I'm turning into, what's that guy's name who just goes, woo, Little Richard? Like that's me. You don't know, Pulse?
No, I don't.
That's fine. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Someone will get it.
Yeah.
I was nervous because we were getting so close to the end. Ryan was still around.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I think Kenz is going to be right about this. He's still around because nothing big enough has happened yet. Mm-hmm. I was like, but we haven't had a Strike and Robin moment in a while.
Yeah.
So I was getting nervous, but I knew that something was going to happen at the end, right? So I get to the epilogue and I read, okay, we got a case, we got that, we got Amelia. And then it's like, okay, here we go. And I'm like freaking myself out. I read the epigraph and I was like, Can we just read the epigraph real quick?
So beautiful. Yes. Oh my God.
Open up my book.
I loved that epigraph.
By the way, the epigraphs were so fun. I loved the epigraphs.
It is going to be so much fun to do this book.
We're going to have the best year with this book. Okay. Chapter 136, the epigraph. Do we have to say every time that it's from the I Ching or the Book of Changes?
No, it's all from the I Ching. Okay. We know.
By the way, Joe said I Ching this morning and now I'm like, are we wrong?
No.
Robert Glenister says it that way too. In the audiobook, I was just...
I haven't even started it. By the way, speaking of Robert Glenister, I'm sorry, we are a hot mess. We're a hot mess. That's just how this episode's going to be. I laughed so hard when someone, I can't remember who it was in the book, said...
Isla instead of Ilsa? Uh-huh. Oh my God, yes, I caught that. That was so funny.
I wonder if that was a joke.
I feel like it was.
I hope it was.
Yeah, okay, so here's the epigraph from chapter 136. Confucius says... Life leads the thoughtful man on a path of many windings. Now the course is checked, now it runs straight again. Here, winged thoughts may pour freely forth in words. There, the heavy burden of knowledge must be shut away in silence. But when two people are at one in their inmost hearts, they shatter even the strength of iron or bronze.
Oh my God.
You know, that kind of reminds me of the epigraph for the last chapter of Troubled Blood as well. Because doesn't it mention metals and stuff?
Okay, that epigraph, at one in their inmost hearts. What do I even say to that? I love them. They love each other. And Strike says it. He says it. He basically says it and she understands exactly what he means.
But the thing is, what is like the most mind-blowing is that, like I said, I didn't want a drunk confession.
No.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. He was completely sober. He knew what he wanted to do.
Deliberate.
Yes, he did it deliberately. He walked into that office, I want to talk to you. He knew exactly what he wanted to say to her.
He had things to say.
Things to say.
To take his fate into his own hands.
And his happiness.
And make an effort. Okay, this is the thing that scares me because I feel like we have nothing to guess book 8 on. We're done with our ring structure. We're done with Harry Potter parallels. Like, what do we do with book 8?
I'm just going to go batshit insane with it.
You haven't already?
No, this is me being restrained. Yeah. This is me hinged. You haven't even seen unhinged yet. All right, it's coming.
Okay, but what I'm scared about is I don't know what Robin's going to do. Is she going to retreat and freak out? Is she going to stay with Ryan? I feel like she might freak out. I don't know if we're going to get the fight about it. Like, I still think that's very possible. I don't know what she's going to do. But what I don't think is that she's going to be able to deny what he meant, because he intended to tell her he's in love with her. He did it. And then it says he's going to make the effort. So I feel like he is going to say, he's not going to retreat and say, I didn't mean it.
No, he's just going to own it.
Stand. Yeah.
He's letting it stand. I love them when he said he just looked at her.
Oh my God.
Like,
I know.
She was expecting.
He looked right at her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think he saw in her face something that told him a lot, that informed that we'll see at the end. Mm. I think he saw some kind of.
I want to know what Pat thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Pat's, what was it? Pat's swift penetrating look. I'm like, Pat's like,
What's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Pat might already be suspicious because of Charlotte's messages.
Oh yeah. She's super sus.
Well, even though she was like, I know that.
Which is really nice. Any other time, like in Troubled Blood, she would have been so keen to believe that.
Believe something bad about him.
Yeah.
I mean, specifically the part when he says there's nothing going on between me and Robin. And she says, I know. Yeah. And I'm like, well, she's wrong about that one. But
right.
I when I read the words on the page that she knows I'm in love with you, I
basically had the same feeling as Robin. Electric charge.
Yeah.
Shock.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I love how completely dazed and confused Robin is. She just, it was like, remember when she found out about Madeline and she just sort of walks out not knowing what her feet are doing?
And she can't look at him at the end when
she almost walks out with the file.
Ryan showing up at that moment, I was like, this is the new damn it, Barkley.
Damn it, Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan. Mm-hmm. She's in shock, I think, on the walk to the car when she processes that.
I really, really want to know how her weekend goes. Because she's not going to be able to think about anything else.
Yeah, it's going to be Le Manoir cut saison all over again.
No, her honeymoon.
Yeah.
When all she can think about is if she's in love with him. I don't know. I feel like Robin did a good job at suppressing her feelings.
She did. She did. She was doing a pretty good job.
So, I mean, you know, obviously there are moments. The fact that he's literally her touchstone and she never thinks of Ryan when she's in the cult, like that was...
Tony,
gorgeous.
The thing keeping her sane.
Even get me started on that.
Her reaction to the first letter, though, can we talk about that?
She cried. Oh,
okay. Maybe she didn't do such a good job after all. I feel like she did, because she didn't like dwell on I'm in love with him, but it's like everything else said it. Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Those letters. I know that we were hoping for like coded letters, but every time Strike offered. He ended all of them with, we will come to get you the second you want us. Battered down the door for her. And he kept giving her chocolate to ward off the Dementors.
Oh, okay.
My heart.
Yeah.
It can't handle it. And the way she just fucking forgot to write Murphy a note the first time, because she was so happy to see Strike's handwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The fact that she drowned and Strike in the Land Rover with her was her last thought. Are you kidding me, Robin?
I know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I know the emotions. I can't.
I feel like we have to. How are we going to break this down and talk about this?
I didn't finish my thought about being scared about book 8. I'm just scared about what Robin's going to do and what's going to happen.
I feel like the prologue might start off with whatever this weekend trip is going to be.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Do you know why I think that there's not going to be a time skip? Because of that case they set up that involves Culpepper and that cricketer. in that last chapter. Oh. That case, there is a lot of detail given to us about that cricketer and the fact that Culpepper is...
He was having an affair with the footballer's wife.
Okay, he thinks his estranged wife is having an affair with a married male journalist, which journalist, Dominic Culpepper, who's married to a Lady Violet somebody. That's a lot of detail about someone we know. Right? That's a lot of detail about the client being an asshole.
I love that little bit about, I heard you slept with his cousin. Don't remember that.
Oh, man.
That was the old me.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I feel like that case is being set up to continue. So I feel like maybe there won't be a big time skip. And I feel like she's slowing down on the time skips now that we're in 2016.
I'm just nervous about, I mean, this feels really early to be making book 8 predictions, but are we going to have the same kind of thing where she's fighting it and then book 8 ends with, okay, I'm in love with you too? Like, is that how it's gonna...
No.
You don't think?
No.
I think that she's gonna end up breaking up with Murphy at the end of the book and like Strike doesn't find out until... They're not getting together at the end of the next book. It's not happening.
I think they are. I think we're gonna see their first kiss and getting together in the next book. Frankly, I think that we're going to see the beginnings of their relationship because I don't want her to skip over that.
Oh, she's never going to skip over the beginning of their relationship.
Well, if they got together at the end of a book, then she would skip over like the beginnings, right?
Not necessarily. I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think Robin will spend the entirety of the next book with Ryan after what Strike said. She knows she's in love with him. He just told her he's in love with her.
The thing is that people said that after Ink Black Heart too.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, people can say.
I think that given that Jo has said that she has plotted out books 7, 8, and 9 with regard to the relationship, I don't think that means that 8 is the book.
Well, if we make opposite predictions, one of us will be right and we all get the credit.
Yeah, but Kenz, you make predictions based on your worst fears.
Well, my worst fears ended up being true. So I'm just saying there's a possibility I could be right.
I think it's my turn.
I think it's possible it could end with her being like, I'm in love with you too. Yes. I don't know. I see the whole plotting set book 7, 8, and 9 with the relationship moments differently, because I do think that we're going to see their path towards marriage. I think that we're still going to end the books with them.
Yeah, I think so.
I think like an epilogue to the whole series could be their wedding. That's kind of how I've always envisioned it.
Yeah, I would love that.
Even before like fandom days, like that's what I always thought it was just going to end with that. So I don't know. I don't know if that would be too quick.
We need to stay on track and actually review this book before we go into the next book.
What are you talking about? Okay, let's go over some things that we got right.
Yes.
And wrong, can
I go
maybe.
One of mine. Remember in the prediction episode where I said that Charlotte was spiraling hard, that I thought she might make another suicide attempt and that this time she might succeed and that it would force the conversation where Strike takes down that portrait of Charlotte in Robin's mind. Y'all remember I said that? I nailed it.
It's so funny, Charlotte's suicide, because it's not funny. That's not what I meant. It's just my reaction to it is so funny, because how can I be so shocked at something so predictable and so inevitable?
Yeah.
But when we got to that chapter and you see the text coming in, I thought it was going to be some Bijou drama.
Oh.
Like some big story had broke with that. It wasn't until I saw she left a note that I understood what was happening. So it was like the third text it took me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked, but I shouldn't be shocked, but I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. This is going to sound weird because we all hate Charlotte. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. But I felt oddly emotional about her death.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it.
I felt emotions on Strike's behalf because of all the emotions he was feeling. The chapter of him talking to her in that church. Wow.
That was gorgeous. Ooh,
broke me.
That was beautiful.
It was so beautiful and just perfect. It was
the
most perfect reaction I could hope for him to have, because it just all led to Robin. When that chapter ended, I was like, this man is ready.
Yeah.
When he forgave his teenage self, I cried when I first read it. And while I was waiting for you to finish the book, Lindsay, I went back and read it again and cried some more. Like this book just, it hit me in so many different emotional places oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huge emotions. And the chapter where he talks to Amelia and gives her closure and himself.
Yeah.
You see what I mean by speechless? I need to sit down and I look at it. Because I thought it was very interesting that Robin read that article about Charlotte just before she gets that conviction that Strike is there for her. And that's, I think, what broke her out of that exhaustion to be like, I'm running.
Oh my God. When she said, I knew, when she knew he was there.
That moment when she knew he was there, that gave me such a Jane Eyre vibe. When Jane is about to cave to St. John's proposal, but she hears Rochester calling for her on the wind across miles and miles, and she goes to him, and then he's like, yeah, I did call out for you on that day or whatever. It wasn't quite the same, but it had that same kind of sudden conviction and connection across distance that can't be explained. It got me in my feelings big time.
Especially when they're laying in bed and she held his hand and said,
God, I
knew you were there. Okay.
I held hands for a solid 5 minutes.
We will get to that. But those chapters, her escape chapters, I've reread about 10 times now.
Yeah,
I can't stop reading those escape chapters. Holy shit.
They're amazing. Okay.
So Big Right, I nailed it with Charlotte.
Yeah, you did. The other thing I wanted to talk about that you were right with, Pools, was the pregnancy thing. And that was the thing that
I did.
That was the thing that blew my mind, because I mean, Charlotte feels kind of inevitable, right? But even though I wasn't sure if she was going to die or not, now that it's happened, it's like, well, yeah, of course, that's how it had to be.
Yeah.
But the pregnancy thing was just out of left field that you totally nailed before we had any indication.
No, I was really excited about that.
Yeah, I was excited about it too.
We're talking about me predicting that. What was it that I said? I said that Will would father a child.
Yeah, you did say that. And you said that pregnancy would be an important thing in the cult.
In the cult, yep. And that there would be pregnant woman as a subplot, giving birth as a subplot. Robin literally delivered someone's baby. Wow.
Right. And then I mean, and also they're delivering babies for trafficking. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got your trafficking plot after all.
I did get unfortunately, my trafficking plot.
Yeah.
Not fun, but vindication.
It's weird because with the trafficking and the pregnancy thing, because I told Ken's when I was reading it, as soon as I read Robin say there should be more children, I was thinking, my first thought was, are they killing kids? But I don't know why I thought that. Obviously, trafficking is the right answer.
More profitable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For a cult, where they get their money from.
Really impressed with myself.
Yeah, I was impressed too. I mean, the beginning of the book was setting us up for some pregnancy scares.
Big time. My God.
Oh, yeah.
Strike deserved every second of that misery with Bijou.
I already know that for the next year or however long it takes to get to book 8, people are going to be saying that that's really his baby.
Strike's baby. That's the what's going to be happening in the
fandom. That's we're going to have to hear that for the next year. Can I just say now that I don't think so.
I hope not.
She very clearly was trying to get pregnant by that one guy because she wanted him to leave his wife. Strike was a means to make him jealous. I don't think that would not have helped her cause. Like, that's not what she was after.
No. Mm-hmm. I love that there was an actual semen heist described in this novel.
Was an actual
I feel like that's a sign to us that she's hearing us. Because what else a graphically described semen heist? Like, she just went back and edited Ilsa in talking about it. Oh my God.
I can't live in a world where J.K. Rowling has heard us talking about a semen heist. So that's not true.
It was so funny though. I screamed. Oh my God. I was like, I can't believe there's actually a semen heist in this book.
Oh my God.
I guess that is one thing that we were super wrong about. We all thought that Strike could not possibly be stupid enough to sleep with Bijou. We thought, no, he has a brain. He's not going to do this. We were fucking wrong. Wow.
Yep. Can I tell you that this is one of the things that I was having
an existential crisis about?
Yes, I was having a bit of a crisis about it. Because here's why. My confidence was genuinely, I felt like, what am I doing on a pod? I felt so wrong about this that I was really like having some
imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I was so sure, like the Madeline thing, that I don't think that it means I was wrong that her purpose was to break him down.
Yeah, no.
But that's how I was feeling, that the whole, like my whole thing about that was wrong. But here's why. It's because this is why I hate reviews. Mm-hmm. When that review came out, I tried to avoid it, but I literally couldn't function. So I made Ken's tell me what it said.
Oh my God. I'm just mad that you sussed it out of me. I didn't tell you anything like was specific, but you were like, is it about Bijou?
Yeah, it took me like some hours to freak out and finally realize it's Bijou, isn't it? That's the thing. Because I knew the thing that you had read you weren't happy about. I could just tell. Mm-hmm. And so then it finally hit me. It's Bijou. I knew it.
Oh my God.
But she gives no context, right? And obviously a review can't give context for something, but I was like, is he really going to do the whole Madeline thing again with this woman that he should not be dating? And I was shaken a bit when I found out about that. But when I actually read it in context, it was not as bad as I was thinking.
It wasn't. It was quite brief. It was, you know what? Everyone has to have a little cheat day on their diet sometimes. Okay. Everyone backslides and has a bag of ketchup chips once in a while. Bijou was Cormoran's bag of ketchup chips.
We don't have ketchup chips here.
I mean, that's a shame because they're yummy. But she was a little cheat day that he felt very guilty and ashamed about.
As he well should.
Backfired on him immensely.
That's the big thing, right? That's the big difference with Madeline is that he immediately felt that self-disgust.
Yes.
And it was so different.
The thing is, he hadn't made a vow after Madeline, but he made his vow now.
He made a
Hell
vow.
Hell yeah, he did. He
finally made the vow.
I was so proud breaking of him that vow. For that vow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it blew up in his face. And this has to be the poor emotional choice. That
it was a very poor emotional choice.
It was very poor.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. He faced the consequences for his actions big time. Mm-hmm. Well deserved.
Definitely learned the lesson. And although, you know, I'm not going to take the blame from her either because she is insane. That is an insane person.
She's a genuine nutter.
Yeah.
Listen, he stumbled a bit out the gate, but he finished strong in regards to the emotional choices. He did.
He really did.
He pulled it back.
Can I just move right into another thing that I feel like that we got right was that this is the book of changes for the book of changes because that man changed.
He changed.
Yeah. I mean, the changes that we saw in him are so
permanent. They feel profound. They feel profound and permanent.
Yeah. I've never been this proud of a fictional character before in my life, even with the Bijou thing.
So proud of this 41-year-old fictional man.
That's a mood.
Yeah. So we were wrong about Bijou. But it was just a little backslide. Doesn't change the larger picture.
I'm not that mad about it because it's not that big of a deal. She's not pregnant with his kid. Can we just please nip that in the bud right now?
I feel like there's no nipping that in the bud. It's not it can't be nipped. It's non-nippable. Okay. So another thing we're right about to be very worried about Robin's safety in this cult and about the coerced sex and the rape and the all of the horrific stuff. We are right to be terrified because holy shit.
I still have a pit of anxiety in my stomach over her being in that cult.
I have never been so tense in my life. I have never been so scared of a villain in a novel as I was of this fucking cult.
Yeah, because it's not just one. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Their power, it feels like their power. It feels like they're omnipotent. And once you're in there with Robin, you feel powerless along with her.
Mm-hmm. It was terrifying.
Clearly, Jo did her research about cult mind control.
Last weekend I watched that documentary on Netflix. What is it? Keep Sweet.
Yeah, Pray in a Bay.
Mm. Yeah, I watched that because Shelley told me to watch it. Mm-hmm. Watched it. Horrified.
Horrible documentary.
Like, I'm kind of glad that I watched it because I could see lots of it in the book. And it was just so, I think that's the thing that's the scariest about it is that it's so real.
Yeah, super real. It's not made up. This is real shit.
It's not made up. It's so terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The way she got out of Tayo.
That Radican bastard. Is that how you compared him to?
Yes, I compared him to Radigan from The Great Mouse Detective, which was one of my favorite movies.
Was in my head the whole time. It's one of my favorite. Fucking Radigan.
The Great Mouse Detective was one of my favorite movies from when I was a little kid. Go figure.
Yeah.
I was into detective Disney movies.
I mean, can we talk about the case? Let's talk about the case before we let's try to do some intelligent analysis of murder.
You know what, though? It's so difficult for me because I still feel like I don't have a full grasp.
We got to go through carefully.
There's just so much to it.
There's so much. But can I just start right away with the reveal? And then I feel once again, I was completely blindsided by the killer.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Completely. Even though you predicted.
I predicted. It was going to be a family member, and we should have connected it with book one, that it is a jealous sibling.
Right? Come on.
I never saw that coming. I never saw it coming that it was going to be a person on the outside.
Well, technically, I predicted that I would completely forget about that and never see it coming. And I was right. So we were right all along.
You're still right.
I'm so happy that I was right about Will's happy reunion with his family and that it was going to be a Percy Weasley thing.
It was.
That was very sweet.
Yes.
One of the things that makes me the most emotional about this book that I am so, like, I couldn't be happier. I could not be happier about this is that I was right about Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yes.
The progress
that was
they
my
made.
Just ultimate hope. I've never seen actual love between Strike and Lucy after so many books. It was, oh my God, I feel so emotional about it.
So emotional.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting this emotional thing from Prudence.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But we got that with Lucy and it was so much more satisfying. And when he says she's not you, okay. The healing that they did.
I'm so proud of both of them.
Me too.
Loved that we got a little bit of them at the end. And Lucy saying she's... What made me laugh, though, was Lucy being like, I finally understand. You're not going to settle down with one woman. I'm not going
to
nag you.
And then he's like, off to Robin to tell her I love her.
Actually. The irony of her finally figuring that out just when he's like, oh, no, actually, I do want to settle down with this one woman in particular. It made me laugh. I enjoyed
that was funny.
Deeply.
That was awesome.
There was so much growth between them.
The healing that they did with Leda.
Strike being a bit more disillusioned with Leda, a bit more angry with her, and telling Lucy
that. And Lucy
that.
Needing that from
Lucy
him.
Needed to hear that.
Yeah, that he was proud of her and thought she was a good mom.
And that he ended it understanding her coping mechanisms and realizing they're more similar and that she was brave.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite things about this book is Strike and Lucy.
Mm-hmm. How can I name my favorite things about this book? I don't have enough fingers and toes.
That's why I said one of.
Fantastic. We were right that Storm Katie got a mention.
Yeah.
Not in the climactic, exciting sense that we hoped for.
That you hoped for. Let's fix that.
It was mentioned.
You know what else was interesting? The blog that we just posted a few days ago from Beatrice Groves, she mentioned specifically Felbrig Hall.
It was Lodge, wasn't it?
Felbrig Lodge. Okay. She put that in there that she thought that it might be a location for the cult since it's around Lion's Mouth. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the cult location, but she was right that it was going to make an appearance, and boy, did it.
Oh boy.
Can we talk about it?
Have you looked up the rooms? Because they're gorgeous.
No, show me.
Oh my God. I need to see where they slept together. So the issue is that Strike says they're in the Bramble Suite, but what the room that it looks like they're in looks more like the Bracken Suite. Okay. So either they redecorated or she mixed them up. We'll just go with redecorated because it says there's a four-poster and leafy wallpaper, which fits the Bracken Suite better, but the rooms look real nice.
As soon as he walked in, like before he even rescued her and it described the bed, I was like, they're going to sleep in that bed.
I can't believe we finally got there was only one bed and it was in this context.
But this context was
perfect.
No, it was perfect. It could not have been more beautiful because
it was so beautiful.
There is absolutely no way that he could have left her alone. It's the only context that this would have worked in, I think, because she needed him there.
I think the part I'm most emotional about in this book is that set of chapters where he helps her escape, the rescue,
where they just hold each other in the car.
He kisses her head, he rubs her back, he repeats it's going to be okay. She cries, she tightens.
She squeezes him tighter.
He walks her to the room with his arm around her. He sits on the bed with his arm around her shoulder. I'm like, it was stunning. It was so beautiful. Her fear and his worry.
Just everything she needed.
Everything she needed. He got her brandy and a soup and a sandwich.
I don't think that situation that we've been hoping for with the one bed could have worked in any other context.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like I've said, I've reread those chapters several times. It's emotional catharsis at its most powerful. And I'm so glad she got out at 60% of the way through the book so we could get the final 40 with her wreaking havoc on this fucking place.
Oh my God.
Joe made
up for their time spent apart because I feel like they were together the entire rest of the book.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling Ken's last night, the way they felt so much closer, it's so weird because we thought that they felt so much closer at Ink Black Heart. This was almost different. The way that they are sharing space constantly, she's sleeping in the office, they share the bed. The way that she uses his deodorant.
Oh my God.
His toothpaste.
They're so close. She sleeps in his shirt.
I can't.
Yes, I know.
And he avoids looking at her.
That's going to be his favorite shirt. Robin slept in this shirt.
He's never washing that shirt again.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay. Were there any other things we were right about? Oh, I said a dad was going to die. And I was wrong. Mm-hmm. But there was some sad stuff with Ted. Yeah. So that's kind of like half right, little tiny bit.
Can I just say that I did not appreciate Greg's attitude about the whole thing?
Fucking
no
Greg.
No one appreciates Greg.
Oh my God.
I wanted to kick
hate
him.
Greg so much. Yeah. I want them to be headed for a divorce so bad.
I'm rooting for it.
I hate that. I hate that guy.
I was so glad how they worked that out because Strike feeling guilty about Lucy doing more. This is going to give him the opportunity to do more and they can be there for each other to take care of him.
And I loved the way that they supported each other. Strike making the hard decision and laying it down.
Knowing that she couldn't do it.
She needed that.
She needed him.
Him going with her to look for the right home.
And that's like a troubled blood thing. Yeah, because remember in Troubled Blood, she's mad at him for being good in a crisis. And now it's like,
she needs that, but he's also there doing the support with her. He's going down to go to the appointment. He's looking for homes with her. Oh boy. Okay.
I know. I'm never going to stop talking about Strike and Lucy.
I think Ted might die in the next book. It sounds like he's...
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe not the next one, but I can see it happening by the end of the series. Okay, I'm going to send you a picture of the thing that I was right about next, this last thing that I want to talk about. Don't worry, it doesn't show anything bad, but it is
bad.
You know, not great. So one of the things that when we read those extra sample chapters, I said to a couple people, pigs on the wall reminds me of another cult, and that is Charles Manson. So when Strike mentioned the Manson family, I was thrilled.
I thought of you immediately.
As soon as you said Patricia Krenwinkel, I was like, I know Patricia Krenwinkel. I just sent you guys the picture. This is from the book Helter Skelter, which I have in my bookshelf. Yeah, yeah. And this is the where it says Death to Pigs, which is written on, it's written on the wall with blood. Mm-hmm. And that's what Strike mentions. And that's the picture from the book Helter Skelter. Yeah, I knew, I was like, that's a Manson connection. So when Strike mentioned it, I was really excited. His weird thing to say about the Manson family, but it was an exciting connection for me because I've been obsessed with that case since I was, I don't know, 17.
I did predict that the murder victim would have been fed to pigs. I mean, I know that other people also predicted it, but I predicted it without seeing them predict it, so I think it counts. But predicted that was fun.
That was horrific.
I did not predict the horrific revelation that Kevin's body has been growing the carrots that Emily refuses to eat.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Whole time.
I expected Robin to run and vomit at that revelation. I honestly did. I can't believe she didn't.
I knew there was something going on with the vegetables. I thought that they were being drugged.
Yeah.
Didn't want to spray the chemicals or something on the ground. That's what I thought that she didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm. But the truth.
I did not expect
it was
that.
So gross. And so horrifying. Like, what the fuck? Oh my God. I wouldn't want to work on the vegetable patch either. Jesus. I had another thing. We were talking about the parallels with Deathly Hallows and the cult thing. And it was very much miserable camping with horrible food. But there is that moment when Robin has to go into the pool of water and she's dragged down by the cable. That was just like Harry getting dragged down by the Horcrux, right?
Yeah. That was horrific. That was so scary.
I can't believe how close she came to actually dying. The thought of what would have happened to Strike if she hadn't been revived is killing me. I'm trying not to think about it because I'll get so upset.
I know.
It was awful. She made it out. She's okay.
Yeah, she's okay. She's okay.
Okay. So that was a parallel, that getting dragged down by the cable into the pool.
Yeah.
That was so scary.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't notice a ton of Harry Potter things. The Percy, you know, reunion thing with the Will reunion, that one is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I never thought that the camping trip felt that long like other people did. Her being in the cult felt longer.
Her being in the cult felt very, very long.
It did. It felt long, but at the same time, it was so fast because these are Joe's shortest chapters ever, right?
Yeah.
They're
kind of really short chapters.
Really short. I can't think of a chapter that was really long. I mean, all the other books, some of the books have 20, 40 page chapters.
The book was really fast paced. Stuff was happening.
And I feel like it needed that with how terrifying it was and the tension. It felt like it needed that.
Yeah, it did. We got an iconic moment, like Robin's iconic at the end. I've gone pure spirit. I pointed at the doors and they open, and then she bashes Mazu in the face with a rifle.
Robin was Kenza texted me at one point about Strike's BDE, and I texted her back. I was like, I think Robin's got some BDE
BDE. Okay.
Yeah, she does. She's learned from the best.
I have a whole thing about my favorite scene in the book, which I want to talk about. And it's about Robin. So I'm saving it for when we like do favorite scenes that aren't obviously the two biggies.
I'm in love with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously we outlaw that and we outlaw the rescue scenes, other favorite scenes, but I'm saving it. I was wrong about, sadly, I was wrong about Robin being set adrift at sea.
Not sadly.
Okay. Oh, sad.
So glad.
Okay. I'm so sad that we didn't get Strike doing shirtless chin-ups, but I feel like wall sex with the hairy ass in Robin's imagination basically counts as the same thing.
And she was trying not to imagine him naked.
I can't.
Yeah. Join the club, Robin. Join the club.
Yeah, her standing there trying not to imagine him naked. I mean, they're trying not to imagine each other naked.
Yeah.
He's over here trying to like do stuff to prevent himself so from funny. Thinking about it.
So cute. We didn't get any ropey stuff that I thought we would.
No, maybe I know. My original guess, I said, I don't think we will. And then I changed it to, I think we will. I should have stuck with my initial.
I know. I couldn't think of any sacrifice. If we count, Will, the Drowned Prophet would kill him for it to save Ching and Lin, could kind of count. Because in his mind, he was dooming himself to death, but he wanted to save his daughter. That was so, so brave sweet. Of him.
Oh my God. Know. You know those videos that the Robert Galbraith account posted, which I hated that they did that? Where they go,
oh my God, yes, I hated that.
Why did they do that? I don't know. But I saw something about Will. All I see is Will's holding his penis at Robin and assaulting her. Oh, and I was like, oh my God. And I would, you know, what happened? And I was thinking, well, God, Pulse was right that Will's not going to be a good guy. Like, this is going to be bad.
No, that was a horrifying scene, though. That was so uncomfortable to read.
It was, but at the same time, like, I can't. I don't have blame for Will or the people who are
I think that
brainwashed and
I think that the course of sex was the others. I think that both Will and Lin were coerced, but not by each other.
Horrific. Which actually really, really reminded me of the FLDS Warren Jeffs thing, because that's happening in there too.
Oh, but we were wrong hoping there was going to be secret meetups in the church, but Kenz was right about that internal monologue.
Yes.
Thing. Oh my that goodness, Kenz.
And I nailed it.
Kenz, that was perfect. I don't want anything else. Monologue. I don't want anything else other than what we got with that. No, that was
perfection.
Amazing.
It was so good. Probably one of my top favorites.
Hey, and we did get them holding hands.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
They did hold hands.
For 5 whole minutes.
In a bed.
In a bed.
While she's wearing his t-shirt.
Until she fell asleep.
Okay. That was so sweet.
So I think that was like our predictions.
Can we talk about some troubled blood connections? Because this was another kind of prediction. Mm-hmm. And I know, I'm going to say off the bat, I know that going into it, I was looking for this. So I might be biased.
Mm-hmm.
But we were kind of thinking that there might be some troubled blood parallels, since Ink Black Heart, we believed, paralleled Lethal White.
Mm-hmm.
And I still kind of think that this could be something that we're right about and we can explore it as we go, because essentially, this is another cold case, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's a 21-year-old cold case.
Yes.
Very cold. So that's one thing, right? Mm-hmm. We have Ted. We have Shanker. We have Charlotte's suicide.
Yeah.
Those are parallels.
Lots of water.
Water everywhere.
Everywhere.
By the way, are we to assume that Angel is okay? She's okay.
I think so. I'm sure she's okay.
Yeah. Do you guys believe Charlotte that she had cancer? Because I don't.
No. She's bullshit. She might have had like a lump.
A mammogram.
And she had a mammogram. They're like, oh, we have to do a test because there's a little asymmetries. And then she's like, it's cancer. 100% what happened.
Because my first reaction when she sat down and said, I have cancer, I quoted Strike. I said, what? Her too? Yeah. I was like,
Press X to doubt on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Considering that she said yes, like way too quickly. After he was like, are they sure?
And the timeline, like I went in for the test on Tuesday and then on Friday, they told me it was Cam. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe if you have big money private doctors, but okay.
Some other things, just we have the Leda reflections, you know, in Troubled Blood, Lucy and Shrike were at odds. And now we have the healing and resolution of that, which was gorgeous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Joan in Troubled Blood asks Shrike, you know, why didn't you ever get married? Shrike is now Lucy's like, it's okay. I understand as long as you're happy. But of course, we all know how that is going to go.
Yeah.
Another very specific thing, that interview with those older people who invited their friends.
Oh my God. Those
people. Most obnoxious people I've ever met. That interview reminded me of how annoyed I felt with Janice and Irene. Well, not Janice, but Irene, right? I was so annoyed.
They were deeply obnoxious. I felt for Shrike and his like cheeks hurting. He's like, I'm going to fucking kill these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that felt like a parallel to me.
Oh my God.
Definitely.
Okay. I wasn't looking out for parallels, but now I'm going
to
be.
Yeah. I mean, I went into it looking for it. So I'm open to counter arguments. We'll see how things go as we do the chapters, but those are just kind of my initial thoughts. Another thing that jumped out at me was the hexagram that we talked about that Joe had. I can't remember which hexagram it was.
The abysmal?
It was the one. Was it that one? The one that says
the abysmal?
Or well, specifically the thing that says, what are you sure of in your heart?
Right. That could have been a couple of them. There were a couple of them that like resonated with each other.
When we read that a few episodes back or whenever it was, of what are you true? Where do you sure of in your heart? We thought that was going to be Robin thinking of Shrike in the cult, right?
And it so was.
It was. That was the sweetest.
Yes.
That he was her touchstone. He was the thing keeping her sane.
I love when she would like think of him grinning or like taking the piss out of whatever. Yes. Oh, so good.
Pretending she's talking to him to keep herself sane. That was beautiful. So emotional.
Powerful. That was powerful. That was soulmate shit. Like, okay.
Oh my God. This book was so good, you guys.
This book was so good. Easily my favorite book. Like easily. It shot right up there.
Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Can we talk about Pat? We haven't talked about goodness. Pat.
My notes are Pat, all caps, over and over. Pat.
I remember messaging you guys going, what the fuck is going on with Pat? What is happening? First of all, I laughed so hard when she revealed that she's 67 because of so all funny. Of the Strike Pat shippers.
Yeah, like I thought about the same thing. I was like, oh, that's an even bigger age gap now.
And the fact that she is married and we got to meet her adorable husband.
Dennis
is so cute.
Dennis is so cute and sweet
with his pigeons.
Just raising pigeons. They are taking Will and Ching in. No questions asked. Like, just
the fact that these people, we've known Pat to be judgmental, kind of short with Shrike sometimes. You know, that initial impression we had of Pat, even though we still loved her, to see her compassion and her kindness and how loving she is as a mother and grandmother and great-grandmother, oh my God. Yeah. I just love Pat so much.
The bit where she's crying, confessing to Shrike because she thinks he's going to fire her.
The fact that no one in her family knows what she does.
That is the funniest shit I've ever read. She's like, well, I signed an NDA. I'm like, oh my
God. I'm surprised none of them were like, Pat, you can tell them you work here.
So fucking funny. Oh my God. I'm just Pat.
She is amazing.
I love her.
And the fact that she wants to stay in their life too. Like, she's amazing. Yes.
She's an amazing human being.
Oh my God. I love her.
Yeah. Words can't express.
Very sweet that Shrike wanted to give them his flat.
But she was right. They needed looking after. And her doubt that Shrike was up to the task. I'm like, well,
well, he's not. But... Of course. Oh, that was so sweet.
Pat, once again, with the MVP.
Joe was right about the Pat moments. I never could have guessed that.
I couldn't have guessed it, but I loved it.
On a related note, Little John, though.
Oh,
and Patterson. Oh, that was so good.
Oh, so
I love that whole thing.
Strikes glee when he opens the news article that Patterson's been arrested. Oh, my God. And his joy in firing Little John was so ridiculously
so satisfying.
Funny. I'm worried that's going to come back to bite him and that Little John's going to have a grudge, though. Hopefully it won't.
Yeah.
It was cold. I mean, he did shove a snake through their client's thing.
Like, who does that?
Yeah, when he walked into the office and just stood there staring.
Into the office and shouldn't be there. That was just... I love that Shrike picked up on that right away.
He did. Mm-hmm. He did. He was like...
Yeah, I was sus from him from the beginning.
Sus. And he turned out to be sus. I thought he was going to be like, oh no, he's secretly a good guy. No.
Mm-mm. Like, maybe he's just a slightly less likable version of Shrike. No.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No.
He's out.
I'm really interested as we go through the chapters to go through the side cases, because I was trying to pay attention to them as we went. Because, you know, we've talked about trying to connect the side cases to the main case, but there was a lot, there were more side cases in this one than I think we've seen before. Lots of infidelity and the stalking, which kind of that reflects them being followed by
I could not
the killer.
Believe the fucking police would do nothing, that the police stalking. Would do nothing about that. Well, I mean, I can believe it. Very true to life.
Yeah.
Deeply upsetting. I know you have mixed feelings about Midge, but I really love that she got a hot, rich celebrity girlfriend. I love that.
Good
for her. Good for her. I love that her character was consistent and that she's very insubordinate.
It made me laugh when Robin rolled her eyes at Shrike saying she's insubordinate, because I felt like in that moment I understood that Shrike, I think that means more to Shrike than it does to Robin coming from a military background.
Yes. Yeah.
And it might not be as big of a deal to Robin, but for Shrike, I think it's a bigger deal. And so I understand. I think I feel that frustration a little bit with Midge.
It just made me laugh.
I don't think that my feelings about her have changed too much, but I didn't dislike her anymore.
I have a soft spot for her because she makes me laugh. People who make me laugh, they endear themselves to me. And she did it. And I was like,
I just don't like that she does it through, I guess, the insubordination thing that gets me. I guess I might be with Shrike.
Oh, but speaking of people I love, I still love Barkley. Him clearing the nettles is a Lethal White callback. I caught that. He was clearing away the nettles. He did it for Robin. Precious. Loved it.
I almost cried when she could see him.
Oh my God. I cried. I was like, go to him. Go to him.
It could not have been Barkley. It had to be
Shrike. No, it had to have been. It had to be Shrike.
When Shrike is driving away and like someone else will have to pick her up, I was like, nope. You are picking her up, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Sir.
Mm-hmm. That's not getting
and
delegated.
So as soon as he, I knew he was about to turn that car around. Something was going to happen. So
yeah.
Whew, but I did. I was going to be so disappointed if someone else picked her up.
That
it
moment,
had to have been him.
That moment where Robin was watching Barkley and wanted so desperately to leave, but then was conflicted and ultimately decided to stay to get the evidence. That felt kind of like the Hallows versus Horcrux choice.
Mm.
Like that big choice she has to make that had severe consequences for her personally.
Yeah.
But they couldn't have cracked the case if she hadn't. They couldn't have taken down the church. So she had to suffer for it.
This is the thing I was thinking about as I was reading, because, you know, I mean, as everyone knows, this is something we discuss at length with Ink Black Heart, is Robin's risk taking and the consequences there. Because I don't know, I felt differently reading this book because it felt more necessary than the ones in Ink Black Heart for me.
It felt so necessary. This cult was pure evil. They needed to be taken down, right?
I wanted her to leave with every ounce of my being, but I knew she couldn't yet. And so I wasn't frustrated by these choices, even though I knew that the consequences were coming. But I do think that we were right that it was building towards this.
It was.
I'm just
building.
Glad that it wasn't like a negative. I mean, I know it was negative, but do you know what I mean? I don't know.
I do know what you mean.
It was so hard, though. It was so hard.
I thought of you in the moment where she was like, why am I listening to Shrike to be safe and not Ryan? And she's like, well, Shrike is my business partner. I guess he has rights. And then she's like, well, that would mean Ryan has rights. And he does not have rights. So I'm confused. And I'm like, are you confused, Robin? Really?
You thought about me for that?
I did. I was like, well, yeah, he's her business partner. He has rights.
Oh, because I had argued.
Yeah, because you'd argued just that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, he's got rights. But I was glad she decided to like lock the doors and sleep on the couch rather than try to go out with the sus guy. I'm like, yeah, okay, good, smart choice.
What?
When she's in the office and she sees the mask.
Oh, yes.
What we know is Abigail. And she decides to like, no, I'm not going to order pizza.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to lurk and take pictures and then sleep on the couch. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a moment where I feel like, okay, she's assessed the risk and she's making the right choice now. That wasn't like a reckless moment. I think maybe earlier she would have done it to prove to be brave or something. Cause that was perfect. And I loved the fight that came between Murphy and Robin from that decision.
Oh yeah. He's like, why didn't you call me? She's like, why would I call you? Oh my God.
No, but like, why don't you just ask me if I slept upstairs? Just ask me.
Another Matthew parallel when he imagined her going upstairs.
But I noticed that she decided to not tell him the fact that they have shared a bed.
Oh, yeah. Kept that.
I wonder if that'll ever come up later.
God, I hope so.
Can we talk about Murphy though? Because
he's a dick.
Well, I was just going to say, I feel like I was right that he wasn't seemed like a nice guy. I thought he was going to be worse when we read the sample. I was like, I think we might be wrong that he was a nice guy, but I didn't see the mean, maybe it's going to come out in the next book.
I was glad that he didn't relapse. Although strike hoping for one all book was so fucking petty and jealous.
I love it.
Murphy, he was decent. He's clearly not right for Robin.
No.
There are several little, not beige flags, not red flags. Call them like slightly pinkish flags. Like the TV shutting up thing really pissed me off.
Me too.
I feel like him deciding to tell her he loves her right when she gets out of this horrible experience, when she's like drunk and exhausted. I'm like, that's not the right time, my dude. And him getting possessive once she says it back, which I also hated, but I understand the auto response thing.
I hated that she said it back, but I loved that it specifically said it was an automatic response because she was used to saying it when she didn't mean it.
Oh,
I was
my like, oh, God. Ouch.
That's going to come back, I think, in the next book.
Yeah. That's super gonna.
And then because how do you not say it when she said it over the phone? How do you not say, once you've said it, you have to say it back. Otherwise you're gonna start.
Right. You can't put it back in the can.
You noticed, did you guys notice that she lowered her voice whenever she said it so that Strike wouldn't hear?
Oh, I was so afraid he'd overhear that.
I was afraid. When they said he walked out grumpy, I was like, oh no, he heard it. And then when his face lit up when he saw her, I was like, oh.
I know it's way too early for book 8 predictions, but like, what if he hears that next book?
Nope. No,
God,
she's got to break up with Ryan.
I think she's going to break up with him.
She's going to drag it out much longer. She can't. Yeah. It's been over a year. You can't drag. He's going to be proposing and she's going to be saying nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's going to last through book 8.
I don't think so either.
I don't know how it's already like they're fighting all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I really didn't like him telling her to stop yelling at the TV.
I really didn't either.
I want to yell at the TV after what I've just been through. I'm going to have a dialogue with my TV and you're going to shut up.
Especially given who it was that she was watching. She knows this person. Of course she's going to be yelling at the fucking TV.
I'd be yelling at the TV too. What else can we talk? Okay. Strike being so jealous of Murphy and so angry and hating him so much this entire book. Like every time he thought of Murphy taking a little dig at him, it made me laugh.
I love when he met up with him and then was like, you don't know her as well as I do. He thinks it twice.
Oh, that was really great.
I have to go back to the ending again and Strike telling Robin that he's in love with her, because I'm kind of glad when I was thinking about how I wanted this to happen, because I did think that he was going to tell her. Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about how I wanted it to happen, I wasn't sure if I wanted him to do it if they were still together or afterwards.
I'm so glad he did it while they were together.
I'm so glad. Me too. That's the thing that I was happy about, because I haven't fully processed why.
I know why.
Tell me.
It's because
explain to me my own brain.
He sees Robin as her own human being. He is concerned with Robin's happiness. He's not viewing her as property of Murphy's that's off limits, right? He's saying, you know what, Robin? You deserve to have this choice. I know you're with Murphy, but you have to know I'm in love with you so that you can make an informed decision, because you're a human being and your happiness is my priority, not Murphy's right to date you or whatever. So many men are like, oh no, she's off limits because she's dating someone else. She's that guy's property now. Strike's like, no, she's a human being and she gets to decide with the full information available to her what she wants to do. And his confidence at the end when he's like, we'll see. It seems to me like in the end, he shifted his attitude from that angry, petty jealousy to sort of like a radical acceptance that Murphy's here. That doesn't mean that Strike can't do what he does with Robin. I don't know if I'm explaining this well, but his attitude shift to like, okay, I accept that Murphy's here for now.
We'll see what happens because I've just given her this.
He's a new man.
Just dropped this grenade.
I'm really glad that he told her while she was still
with him.
We can examine that again as we go along. But yeah, it's just, oh boy.
I love the confidence of his, we'll see. We sure will.
We will. We will see.
You know what I was thinking? And maybe this is just because I'm thoroughly disillusioned with Murphy now. But Robin hardly wrote him at all. And whenever they did see each other, they were presenting like really sanitized versions of their life stories to each other. Mm-hmm. How on earth can you realize that you're in love with somebody that you're hardly talking to, who you're not sharing like the ugly parts of yourself along with, you know, the good parts? That seemed a little sus.
He realized while he was away that he loved her. I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he missed her so much that he realized he was in love with her, which is a very sad contrast to how much she thought of him.
Yeah. That's why it means so much more in contrast, just knowing that, okay, these two hardly talked to each other for over 4 months that she was in the cult. And he's over here talking about, oh, I'm in love with you. And it's like, dude, you don't even know Robin. You know, like the surface level of her, but like Strike knows everything about her.
As he said.
Exactly. So much more. I mean, I know I'm kind of stating the obvious, but like, you know, he knows so much more about her. He's seen all of the different facets of her. It just means so much more.
And both ways, right? They've seen the worst in each other.
Oh God, they have. And they've been there for each other. They have such, they've such,
and they've always worked it out.
They fit so well together. Okay.
Do we need an emotions closet?
I am fully in my Strelicott emotions right now.
Oh yeah. There's no other place to be.
Also, what I love, and I know Lindsay, you might not care about this, but Ken's, that ending is going to launch 1,000 fanfics with different versions.
It is.
I'm writing one where she dumps Murphy on the way to the car and comes back to find Strike in the pub, because that's what I want to happen. I don't think I want it to happen.
That is absolutely going to be like the new Ritz ending.
Yeah, it is.
Say my worry about this, though. Mm-hmm. Same thing with, you know, the ending of Troubled Blood.
Yeah.
It's going to get people's expectations up too high.
I know, and it's going to be great.
It's not great because then we have to listen to it.
I don't have to listen. I don't listen to anyone. Yeah, well. You guys might have to. I cultivate my bubble world very carefully.
Yeah, I have specifically not looked for any reactions beyond y'all's right now.
Can I talk about my favorite scene that wasn't the shippy stuff with Strike and Robin?
Mm-hmm.
Robin's dinner with Prudence in
Il Portico. Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, I have a monologue about how much I love this scene.
First of all, can I just say, I love how Joe specifically wrote in there that Il Portico is the best pasta, and she had Robin be like, it was so good.
I loved her blatant advertisement for her friend in that scene. I'm like, I want that ragu. Next time I'm in London, I'm going to Il Portico.
Me too.
Yeah. It sounds delicious. Fucking love pasta.
That was just great. I just loved it. Was Joe hilarious. In that moment. It took me out for a second because I was like,
I see you, Joe. But yeah, it was amazing. So Robin in that scene.
And her BDE. Let's talk about it.
BDE. Mm-hmm. She was badass. It was a badass honesty, laying it all out. She was in her power. She had her power. She was straightforward.
So much
she
of Strike. It.
Yes, just like Strike.
It was that confidence in her ability, in her abilities, and her
confidence, her power. I loved her discussion of how justice helped her heal. Just finding justice helped her in her healing process.
Yes.
Because one, the way that once she's out, she goes after the cult on the outside to bring them down and stop them from hurting anyone else. That is how she heals herself. Finding justice for herself and for other people. We're seeing her healing process in real time, and it's amazing. It speaks to the two big themes of this novel, which are, well, all of the novels, healing from trauma and finding justice for people, and it ties them together so beautifully. And I'm like, that's Robin's healing process, is justice.
You've just hit on another one of my favorite moments that was with Strike, but you reminding me of it so much because it's when he's confronted by Philippa Graves.
Yes.
It says, Strike had met other people during his detective career who expressed similar sentiments, but he never managed to muster any sympathy for them. Truth to Strike was sacrosanct. Justice was the only other value he held as high.
Oh my God.
And that's just both of them seeking truth and justice, it feels like.
And justice, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. are so similar in that. And it's just, that was also powerful.
Yeah, Robin's rage at the blatant lies, what made her so angry was Becca blatantly lying about what was happening. That was what pushed her over the edge. It, she was fucking furious.
That's what mm-hmm. reminded me of the other thing that I had seen in that FLDS documentary, the mm-hmm. Keep Sweet one, where the woman goes on record on TV and just blatantly lies about not delivering teenage babies. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Becca did. That was another thing that reminded me of that documentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Truth, justice, healing. So going back to the scene in El Portico.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is also then the personal aspect of the scene. Prudence says, oh, I think you're the emotionally intelligent one in this partnership. And I'm like, well, she is pretty fucking emotionally intelligent. She shows that because she decided she had to be the one to confront Prudence to save Strike's relationship with his sister, because she thinks it's important for Strike. And so she steps up to do that.
That was amazing.
Her insight into both Prudence and Strike in that is just, it was so powerful to me. She's so amazing.
When she tells Strike that too, I thought it would be better that she's mad at me.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I know. Yeah. That whole scene where she just stepped up to the plate and fought it out with Prudence. It was magic for me. And there was pasta.
Yeah, pasta is forever.
Pasta is forever.
We're going to have that on a cup or a sticker or something.
Pasta is forever. This scene, it's queen. This might go down as one of my favorite scenes in these entire novels. Like this was up there.
It was really good.
I loved it. And I have to believe that Prudence ended this novel just in awe of Robin, because combine that scene, which I think earned her some respect, some serious respect, with the scene with Will and Flora, where she helps Flora have this breakthrough. No. I think Prudence ended this novel being like, holy shit, I'm a Robin fangirl now.
I get the feeling that Prudence was maybe afraid to push people to seek justice, or that she didn't understand the value of it. And like, and Strike and Robin are kind of opened her eyes to.
It taught her something. Mm-hmm.
There is so much to love about this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to immediately start listening and rereading, because
I need to reread that scene with Prudence about a million times.
Yeah.
I'm in love with it as a scene. Yeah. It was everything to me.
Can we just talk about a moment that I specifically texted you, Lindsay, about, where Strike was never more sexy?
Yeah.
Was it the where he's like, I'll burn this church to the ground? Yeah. Oh my God.
Of course it was.
Can I just read the end of this chapter? Because
reminded me of that Creed interview, right?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's even more satisfying than the Creed interview. And I never thought I'd say that. But the thing that he says here about being great at the job, just, oh my goodness. To tell you the truth, I'm not as humble as you are, Jonathan. I don't need to ask myself whether I'm up to the job, because I know I'm fucking great at it. So be warned, if you do anything to hurt either my partner or Rosie Fernsby, I will burn your church to the fucking ground.
Holy shit.
I was ready to climb him like a tree. I was
PTE. Oh my God. Yeah, that was
the amount of confidence that oozing.
Sexy. That was very sexy.
It's the confidence and the bravery in both of them, in both Strike and Robin, because I could never do the things that they've done, especially Robin. But I was scared for him to go backstage with all of these people who, that was scary for me, but he,
Do you know what makes me laugh about that scene though, Kenz? The fact that 90% of the shit that he brings up, Wace has no idea about. Has no idea about the surveillance or about Pig Masks or any of it. So from Wace's perspective, Strike is just genuinely spouting a bunch of made up nonsense. And he's got to be like, what kind of 4D chess is this guy playing right now? Oh my God. Once I realized that most of that had nothing to do with Wace, I was cracking up.
I know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I really liked earlier when that woman came and was like, oh, what brings you here? And he's like, I'm a private detective investigating accusations of sexual abuse. And I was like, oh my God.
That was so good. Oh, he's not pulling any punches.
I love him so much. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
The book crush is coming through strong.
Yeah.
For this book.
Oh man.
Didn't we just get a comment on Facebook the other day about if we can reduce the strike?
We can't.
What gushing. Was it called?
The strike gushing
by 50%. No. And I said, sorry, no, we might be increasing it by 50%. That's just the way it goes.
It's just how it goes. We can't help it. That's strike.
And you know what? I don't want to help it. So
powerful BDE.
Be prepared.
Yeah. You know what else I loved about this book?
What?
Tell me. We finally got a car chase and it had people shooting at them. Oh my God. I've been wanting that for so long.
I was scared.
I should have known it was coming when Michael Ellicott brought up the advanced driving certificate. Because of course he had to bring that up to prepare first book readers to know that she can drive, right? I should have seen it coming and I didn't. And I was, oh boy, I was excited.
Yeah.
You guys know I've been wanting a car chase for a long time. I loved it. Robin was very badass. Very badass. And actually, like, the car tilts. Oh man. Okay. Sorry. Really loved it.
That was great.
That was great. Yeah. Got to show off her skills. Poor Strike bashing his face into the window, though.
But did you notice, like, the panic in him a little bit where he kept imagining that the car was about to explode?
Yes. Oh my God. The beauty. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The fact that he felt the heat from the bullet pass his face, I was like, oh, that's scary. That's very scary. Yeah.
I was pretty much scared the entire book.
I have never been more scared.
I've never felt more terrified reading one of these books. It was just.
Yeah.
Is the definition of a thriller.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what I mean that I couldn't eat. I was so stressed out. And even afterwards, just like this pit of anxiety that I was like, I can't bring myself to eat food because I'm so stressed out.
Same. Oh, yeah, boy. Like my hands were clammy. My heart was like pounding for hours.
When I got to the end, it's that final chapter because I was so anxious. Like I knew it was going to happen. It had to happen. But I was like, what if it doesn't happen? What if he doesn't tell her he loves her? And I was literally, I could feel my whole body shaking. Like I could feel my heart beating in my stomach.
Yeah. Oh. My heart was racing after I finished that book. I was like, I feel like I've just run.
Okay, now tell me, did both of you know that that was going to happen?
What?
That he was going to say he loved her?
I did.
You knew that spoiler, Kens?
I did.
Oh, no, I didn't look
it up. I knew that for like a whole week.
How did you know that?
Oh my God, it was fucking Reddit. Somebody posted something without spoiler barring it, and it was supposed to be something that was only from the excerpts we'd already had. And I was like, one last look before I delete the fucking app. And this person had not spoiler barred talking about how he says that he loves her at the end of the book. So I was like going crazy thinking like, how is he going to say it? What's going to happen? Like,
this is why I don't go on Reddit.
Yeah, this is why I deleted everything. Well, I never go on Reddit anyway, but
no, that's why
I deleted everything so that I didn't have the temptation. But that's why it's so hard for me, because if I know that you guys know something, I can't take it. Yeah. I'm freaking out. The last week, I know we joked about the last week being the hardest and we sang about it. It's
unbearable.
Awful. It was pretty unbearable. It was pretty difficult.
Yeah, those are the kind of things that I don't want to, like, I'm kind of happy I was warned about Bijou, because when I actually read it, I was like, oh, this is not bad at all.
Yeah.
You know, I had already processed it. And so it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I don't want to know the good things like that. You know, it's just
me neither. I don't want to. I want that whole experience of reading it in context.
I was so angry over the Libby thing. I was, I was legit upset about that. And I'm hoping that Bill got through to Neil Blair. He said he was going to.
I think it did, because they took it down off Libby.
Yeah, but you could still search it.
Like they took the sample down, though.
Oh, okay.
They took it down.
Yeah, but still, I think he was still going to tell him the fact that you could search the entire book. Like, you should not be able to search an entire book from a sample.
No
yeah, that was especially for a book that's not out yet. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I know. It was just such an oversight, and just I hate that that happens, because it ruined so many people's experiences, and it was stressing me out so bad, because I didn't want to be spoiled, and I didn't want other people to be spoiled, because I know that it ruins the, you know, the joy that you feel, the experience. I think my most shocking moment was Charlotte, which is so strange, because how was that shocking?
It should not have been shocking, but kind of was. Yeah.
I remember when we were first reading the book, and we were kind of all at similar places at first.
Yeah.
I had said to you guys that there was that scene, you know, where it said that Strike kind of felt some of the old
feeling. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got a little scared, but then it immediately went away because of what he said to her about, we were never friends. And I thought that was so beautiful, yes. Because what do you think he's actually thinking of is who is my best friend and obviously, who do I actually love?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, right? It's the fact that he realized that you need to be friends with the person. Oh my God.
Oh,
but anyway, I thought for a second that that scene was going to be the end, because I was thinking, this kind of reminds me of how Robin made peace with Matthew in Troubled Blood. Mm-hmm. It almost felt like they could end at that kind of, you know, he didn't feel so much anger towards her in that scene. It felt a little bit like closure almost. And then, oh boy, was I wrong. As soon as those messages started coming in, and I was like, oh, I was wrong. Not happening. I thought for a second that she was going to contact Robin and say, like, I know he's in love with you. I thought that that might be how it was about to happen.
That would have been fun.
I mean, I'm glad it came from him.
Me too.
But I don't know. I thought that there was going to be more with it. I didn't expect her to do it then.
Yeah.
Worth it for that chapter, though.
I would like to know other people's feelings about Charlotte, because it just feels so complicated. I think what you said is right, that the emotion I'm feeling is on behalf of Strike. And I'm also glad that it kind of seemed to imply that the twins went to her sister.
I hope so.
That's the kind of the implication that I got at the end, or at least partly, because it says now you can tell her kids or something about her kids.
Yeah.
Because her sister doesn't seem like a bad person.
Yeah. I wanted Strike to offer Amelia that same video proof that he sent Charlotte. Be like, listen, if you want to get those kids away from Drago Ross, here's the video proof that I sent Charlotte that she never used, you know?
Let's pretend that that happens.
I am going to pretend that that happens, because I can't live with those kids being with that asshole monster.
I know. Can we just talk how awful Charlotte is, though? Because the fact that in her last moments, she wrote pages and pages and pages to hurt other people. That is what she chose to do.
It's so
painful for the people left behind. Like, I cannot believe, I don't know, but you think when people leave notes, it's not like that. Like, that's never how I would imagine she left a note.
No, you don't imagine that kind of note, do you?
No.
I'm really glad that Amelia burned it.
Yeah,
I know. And that she wrote pages and pages to Strike. Oh my God, just wanting to hurt him as badly as possible. It's just,
I mean, I guess it came true. Awful. She would go to any lengths to try and hurt him.
I'm so glad that he acknowledged, I was the only person who could have stopped this, but that's not my job. I was so happy. And when he tells Robin at the end, he wouldn't change a thing.
There were so many actual suicides in this novel.
Oh my gosh, I know.
And when you think about the ring structure thing with like suicides that are actually murders, I'm wondering if maybe Lita
was wondering this too.
What if this all comes back to Lita was an overdose?
I was just driving to Starbucks before we started recording, and I was thinking, are we wrong about Leda? Did she actually just overdose? Or is this the closure that we're going to get? That's just how it happened.
Because I was kind of wondering that too. I'm like, maybe Leda wasn't murdered.
I don't know what to think about that, because we haven't gotten anything about her death in the last two books. We really thought the Gillespie thing in Troubled Blood was going to come back. It's possible that it still will. We still have three more books.
It's very possible. But
I don't know. This is the first time where I'm really considering that possibility too.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, but this is a very suicide heavy novel.
I know, but also coerced suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, Cherry Carrie.
Oh, I was pronouncing it like Cherie, but that might be too French.
I was
too,
but I wasn't sure, but there's other spellings when he's looking at all the names. She does go by Cherry once, and then sometimes it switches spellings between Cherry like the fruit and Cherry like it was spelled. So I'm like, I think it's Cherry, and I don't know. It was a tough one.
That was really poor. Robin's devastation at feeling responsible for a mom's suicide like that. That really got me feeling for Robin. I loved that Strike, he said the same thing Murphy did. Yeah, but then he also took her and showed her, you did good too. You saved lives as well. Oh. Both of it's part of the job. They're going to his bedroom to tell her that, somewhere no other woman has been before.
Mm-hmm.
I might mention.
I thought of that too.
Was right there. That's all I'm saying.
I wish they would have sat down. Mm-hmm. I was so really happy that she called Ryan. I was like, I can't go to dinner.
Yeah, sorry, I got stuff to do.
Strike at the end where he's like, or at the end of his confrontation with Abigail, when he said something like, this is Ryan Murphy. He's already in a bad mood because he was supposed to have dinner with his girlfriend.
That was funny as hell. Honestly, my overall impression of this book, brilliant, terrifying.
Terrifying. Beautiful.
So fast-paced, so relentless, so emotional. Hit me, it punched me in my heart many times in a very good way and some bad ways, but like bad, good, brilliant. Did I say brilliant already? I feel like you can say it twice already. I can't wait to go through this book carefully and notice everything Joe has done with it, because I have a feeling we're going to find just so much. This is such a good book. It's so my favorite book. I can't wait to reread it properly.
I know we said we weren't going to talk about book 8. I say this every single time.
Yeah.
I know that, but I mean it every single time. I have never been more excited for the next book ever.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Because supposed to do?
What are we supposed to do?
Go crazy, I guess, in the meantime.
I mean, I know we said we weren't going to ask her about book 8, but I really want to know where she's at with it. Because, oh my God, I need to prepare myself if we have a 1 or 2 year wait.
I feel like it's going to be a short wait. Because I feel like like with this book.
She's been working on it for so long already.
And she's excited about it. I feel like
she can see why she wrote this so fast.
Yeah, because she's so excited to write it.
Did you notice the dedication at the end? The one to her husband that said that he wasn't excited about a cult.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Book.
Hold on. Oh, I have to look for it.
So she says, so lastly to Neil Murray, who really didn't fancy a book about a cult, but who likes The Running Grave, the best of the series. See, I always know best, except on the many occasions when you do.
That's cute.
I know. I was like, I feel like that captures my feelings because I was so afraid when we heard cult.
Yeah.
It's going to be scary. It's not that I wasn't excited, but I was worried. I was having difficulty reading because I don't know if it was because of how anxiety inducing this book was, but I was struggling. I was like, I feel so slow because I'm reading a paragraph and I literally don't know what I'm reading because my mind is already ahead of what's going to happen.
Oh,
picturing things, or I'm rethinking about what's just happened. And I had to go back and reread about a dozen times. Yeah. So now I'm looking forward to, thank you, Audible. Your pre-order is ready. Listen to The Running Grave now.
Oh, I just got that notification too. That's funny.
So yeah, I feel like this book was just so anxiety inducing, but so wonderful.
It's going to be so good on a reread when you don't have to have as much anxiety.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so good for you on a reread. For all of us. It's going to be amazing.
I'm so excited to dive into the epigraphs because I definitely made sure that I took the time to read them and try to understand what was about to happen.
I read most of them. Sometimes I forgot and zoomed ahead.
I did because they actually helped me. They helped me prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like these ones are easy to understand. But I feel there's going to be so much more when we actually look up what hexagram it is. I'm not sure if that's all going to apply, but we're going to do it anyway, obviously.
Well, I'm going to do it anyways. Yeah. I don't care if it actually applies. I'm going to get my reach and I'm going to reach the hell into those epigrams.
We need to say exactly where they come from, which one they are.
I'm going to mix up the words epigraph and hexagram so many times in this season. I'm going to be saying epigram. I'm going to be saying hexagraph constantly. Just a warning. It's going to be happening.
I don't know. Do we have anything? I feel like there's so much that we're going to forget to say.
There's so much. Obviously. I'm just really excited to start this season because I thought was an absolutely fantastic book. And it's going to be so much fun to dive into.
One thing I wanted to say before we go is please do not respond to this on social media with spoilers.
Yes.
Even though we are talking about spoilers, we don't want to put spoilers in the comments for people who haven't read it yet or are reading it right now. If you want to talk about it, you can DM us, DM me. I'd go for
it. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm back on Twitter now. I downloaded Twitter again. I've had it off of my phone for about 3 weeks. So, and Joe was back this morning, which was so exciting.
Yes.
Talking about the book being out.
Liked a few tweets.
That'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy what you've heard, don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr at the SE Files Pod. You can also contact us on our website at thesefilespod.com, or email us directly at sefilespodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much again for listening, and we hope to catch you next time for another episode of the Strike and Ellicott Files.